everyone. Good morning to you. Good to see all of you today, and I'd like to wish you a happy new year. I guess it's our first Sunday of the new year, so happy new year to all of you. Let's take our Bibles and go to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, if you would, please. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. We'll read a pretty familiar story. 2 Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, right before Ezra. We'll look at a good example for the new year. That's what we'll call it this morning. A good example for the new year. A good example for the new year. Repeat that for the busy tape room up there, sound room. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. You know, I guess that's probably the most popular phrase for the last week or so is Happy New Year. That's what you hear. You know, that's your salutation and greeting. You know, replacing Merry Christmas there for weeks before that. But some people let their circumstances dictate whether they're happy or not. Now, as a believer, you know, I guess we could do it this way. We could wish someone a new year full of joy because as a believer, our joy comes from the Lord, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible even says that. You know that? It says that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so our joy is not determined by our circumstances, what's around us. Our joy is determined by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the world can actually become an unhappier place and actually affect us and make our circumstances maybe more negative than positive sometime, but that's not supposed to affect our joy because Christ is our thermostat. He sets the temperature. We don't let the environment set the temperature, so to speak. Okay, we're not a thermometer, we're a thermostat. Christ sets the temperature, and that's what we're supposed to go by. I think you understand what I'm trying to say. If you look at this these historical books, like 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you know it's the historical time during the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And it's the period of kings, starting, of course, with Saul and David in 1 Samuel, and following it all the way through. It's a very interesting time, and you read through there, and of course, you know the kingdom splits between the wicked north and the righteous south side. I'm just kidding. Well, that's actually how it was, though. You had the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel. Then you had Judah, and you had David's lineage there in Jerusalem. And you had them being split after Solomon's reign with the son of Solomon and all that kind of stuff we could talk about. But as you read through it, you'll see that some kings were evil. And you'll see that other kings were good. You'll read statements like we're fixing to read here in a moment in 2 Chronicles 34 about a king that did evil in the sight of the Lord or a king that did good in the sight of the Lord. And that's what we'll read about here in a moment. So we have King Josiah. He's pretty well known here, being taught about and preached about quite a bit. And here in 2 Chronicles 34, we'll see King Josiah took the throne at the young age of 8. Now remember his father reigned 2 years. His grandfather reigned 55 years, if I remember correctly. And you know, his grandfather was Manasseh. His father was Amnon, I believe. Amnon is how you say his name. And his great-grandfather was Hezekiah. Talked about him for Father's Day this last year. But here's what's interesting is Josiah didn't follow his dad, who was evil. He didn't follow his grandfather, Manasseh, who was very evil. But he went back and followed what we call his great-grandfather, or even his really great-great-great-great-grandfather, David. And he walked after the Lord. And what a blessing it is to see that even though the circumstances around the nation of Israel were what we call evil, yet Josiah found joy in his Lord, his God and his Lord. And that's a good example for us for the new year. So here's how to have a joyful new year as we go into this 2014. Have you let that sink in yet? Have you written that down yet? 2014, isn't that kind of crazy? I don't know. I remember thinking the year 2000 sounded really crazy, you know, and now here we are in 2014. But anyway, let's talk about this, and let's look at this first passage here in 2 Chronicles 34. We'll read verses 1 through 7, and we'll see our first good example for the new year from King Josiah here. Josiah, 2 Chronicles 34, 1, was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. That's a good summary verse right there in verse 2. Verse 3, for in the eighth year of his reign, so it'd only be like 16 years old, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. High places, not where they worship the true God, but where they worship the false gods. What we'd say, principalities in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places, sacrificing to the false gods of the heathen people of the other nations around the nation of Israel. It's the host of the high ones, if you look at that in Scripture. Anyway, he started to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves. And the carved images and the molten images, the carved images and the molten images weren't gods, but they symbolized and represented something that was a little g god. Verse 4, and they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, in the king's presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Here's the first good example for having a joyful new year. Good example for our new year 2014. Number one is to follow this example of King Josiah by removing the clutter and distractions from the past. Removing the clutter and the distractions from the past. You see how that works. You know, we can talk about the physical clutter that we sometimes face. I remember when we lived in Georgia and we come down for Christmas with the family here, and then we try to pack up our truck, you know, our four kids and my wife and I, and all the stuff that we brought and all the stuff that we got, you know, all the kids' toys and stuff like that, and trying to pack the vehicle back up to go to Georgia. Most of the time, you had to ride back all the way with no rearview mirror. Had to use your side mirrors. Why? Because the back was all the way to the roof, right? You ever done that before? Of course, that's a very safe way to drive on I-75, isn't it? And anyway, what happens? Clutter. And you get back, and then you got to not only find a place for it in the truck, but then you have to find a place for it in the house or in the kids' rooms. And before you know it, you know, you're up to your eyeballs, and you find yourself on a TV program documentary about being a hoarder or something like that, right? Clutter can come on you before you know it, but it's not just the physical clutter. I remember you ever heard me I didn't bring it with me, but there's this little ad that was put in a newspaper in a city in California where this older lady was taking out an ad, paying money in the classified section of a California newspaper. She knew that their garage had been broken into. And she knew things had been taken, but since they piled it high and deep in their garage, all this stuff that they had cluttered up their garage with, and they did not have it inventoried and accounted for, that she was taking out an ad in the newspaper asking the thieves to give her an itemized list of what they took so that they could then turn around and turn it into the insurance company and be compensated. We promise we won't turn you into the police. You can keep what you took. Just let us know what you took. That's a great way to live life, is it not? I'm sure 10 years down the road, it'll come to me that we're missing that article or what that item that you took. Well, that's how it is, humanly speaking. Sometimes after Christmas or even during the new year, your closet gets smaller, the garage gets smaller. So much for parking a car in the garage, right? the garage is the end all for some other things. What about your attic? I mean, good night. If you're supposed to circulate air in the attic, how is that supposed to happen when everything's piled high and deep up there? And if you don't watch out, before you know it, things tend to build up in our lives if we're not cautious or careful about it. You know, it's the same way, not just with physical things, not just with literal objects of matter, but it happens in our spiritual life too. If you're not careful, if you're not on guard, if you're not following the right instructions from God's word, from God's instruction manual, before you know it, you'll have things clutter up in your spiritual life. things tend to build up if we're not careful to watch. And I could give you all kinds of examples, but let's just look at this example here in this passage. Verse number three, I think it is. It says, "For in the eighth year of his reign," talking about Josiah, "while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem," Judah being the tribe, Jerusalem's kind of the city of David there, "from the high places and the groves," so you have high places, you have groves, "and the carved images and the molten images." So he started a spring cleaning right there, I guess you could say. He started a decluttering process. He embarked on a plan to get rid of the things that should not be there. Now, here on this first Sunday of 2014, would it be wise of us to follow this example in Scripture and to identify things that are in our heart and life that shouldn't be there and start to declutter them and start to get rid of them? Start a plan of following God's word, God's instruction manual, God's organization program or plan, and starting to purge out the old, like we said on Wednesday night. Purge out the old so we have room for whatever God decides is the new in our life. That's a good idea. That's a good example for us. Here's Josiah when he's 20 years old, I guess, starting removing the things that accumulated in the land because of his father, Amon, and his grandfather, Manasseh. But lots of bad things had accumulated in the land. And I guess by the time that Josiah is around 26 years old, he finally finished with purging the land. I mean, if you think your garage is bad, whether that's the physical garage you have or that spiritual garage that we're speaking of right now, whether there's too much in your attic or not enough in your attic, or however you want to look at that, think about this. It took 6 years for Josiah to do the purging that the land that he was king over needed. Now, you might say, well, you know, I know there's some things in my life that shouldn't be there, but oh, what a great undertaking it would be to have to deal with that. Oh, how difficult that would be, how hard that would have to be. It's just, I just don't know if I'm strong enough to put forth the... What about King Josiah? What about his example? He committed himself, and for years, I mean, he left Jerusalem. You see what the passage said, right? He left Jerusalem, and he had these things done right before his eyes. And there was so much filling the land that it took 6 whole years for them to tear down all the things that had sprung up. What a great example for us. If Josiah could do that great undertaking he humanly did, following the Lord, then we can take care of whatever God has identified in our life that needs attention, that needs purging, that needs to be removed so we can go forward in 2014 and please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, 55 years of Manasseh, 2 years of Amon, he was so wicked, his reign only lasted for 2 years. It actually takes a lot of time and effort to remove the things that build up in life. We allow things to build up that affect our spiritual lives. We allow things that emotionally cause us problems or establishes, I guess you could say, bad habits or bad thoughts or bad thinking patterns in our life. And we have to give those the attention of the Word of God. When it shines its light on those things, we have to be willing to take the steps necessary to let God deal with that part of our life also. I mean, it's a lot of time, it's a lot of effort, but... You know, and I know we can think, oh, we don't have any idols, we don't have any false gods or molten images or other objects like that that were in the nation of Israel that hinder our walk with the Lord. But the truth is, we're not honest when we say that because there are those things in our life. Now, I know we're not the same type of civilization now that it was back then. I know that things have advanced forward and there's technology and we're over here in the West and they were over there in the East. And it's just that's an ancient mindset over there. And we're more of a contemporary or modern mindset in the day and age that we live in. But no, we still have the same problems they had. In fact, I don't know. Satan's even more subtle in the way he brings those things into our life than he was in the nation of Israel's life. And the nation of Israel allowed those idols and those molten images and those wrong altars and wrong gods into their life. They knew what they were doing. They knew that that was the god of the Philistines, or they knew that was the god of this people or that people. They knew that. They weren't deceived, But with us, you know, we're inundated all the time with all things that are put before our eyes and in our ears and in our hearts and minds, and Satan comes in the back door many times. He doesn't necessarily come in the front door. He's slipping all those things into our life. Yet, as you walk with the Lord and as the Spirit of God works in your heart and as you spend time in the Word of God, God has taken the time to identify those things, and we know that. He's brought them to mind. He's brought them to light. And yet, here's the question. What do we do? Do we deal with them? Do we deal with them, or do we ignore them? Do we just turn away from them and pretend they're not there? Do we sweep them under the rug, that type of thing? Or do we deal with what God has identified in our hearts and lives? We've got to be careful about that. There's all kinds of things that hinder our relationship, not only with the Lord, but with each other. Those of us in a marriage relationship and in a family relationship, you know there's things that you can let into your life that'll affect those relationships from being what they should be. We've got to be so very careful. Satan, a lot of times, he'll bring stuff back into your life that were in your life when you were an immature Christian, when you were immature spiritually and didn't know any better. He'll bring those things back again. He'll crack that door open, and he'll let those things kind of slide back in. Or what about before you were saved? Some of the things that were in your life. You ever noticed how Satan, I mean, even though you're saved and he can't get your eternal soul, have you ever noticed how he'll try to let those things slip back into your heart and life again? Oh, we got to be so careful not only to shut the door, but to tear down what's been built, to the casting down of strongholds, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians. The old life, the old man is still with us as long as this body of flesh is still here. We can go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at that whole list of all those emotional issues, the envy and the bitterness and the wrath and the anger. That stuff is there, and it can actually develop over time, and it can come to a head over time, but God tells us how to get rid of that kind of stuff and to purge out the old and to walk after the new man and not after that old man. So much I could say. I wanted to keep going in this chapter because there's so many good examples here. But the first thing that we can do to have a good 2014, to have a 2014 where we experience the fullness of the joy of the Lord, is to get rid of those things. Purge out the things that should not be there. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is, where it talks about our heart, and actually God wants us to have our heart enlarged, not in a physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. And the way our hearts shrink up and tighten up and are restricted and confined is by allowing things in there that shouldn't be there, wrong affections, not separating from the things that we should separate from, not getting rid of the unequal yokes, the things that we allow ourselves to yoke up to and join up to and establish bonds and ties with. If we'll get rid of those things, then our heart will be more receptive and more open and have more room for the things of the Lord. There's so much more we could say, but I need to hurry on. Look at the second example here for having a new year full of joy. You find it in verse number 8. Look at it. I'm going to read the next few verses. Now in the 18th year of his reign, talking about Josiah, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maasa, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. To repair the house of the Lord his God. Now, what is that speaking of? That's speaking of the temple, is it not? The temple that Solomon had built. We find it in bad shape. We find it in ill repair. We find it where it needs attention. Do you remember what happened after the house of the Lord was constructed and built? Do you remember one of the last things that happened during Solomon's prayer of dedication? Do you remember what happened? God allowed his presence, his glory, to be manifested there in the Holy of Holies, in that great temple. Do you remember that? How his presence and his glory filled the Holy of Holies. Now, no man was allowed to enter in there except for the high priest one time a year, but God allowed his presence to dwell between the cherubims there on the Ark of the Covenant, placed in the Holy of Holies, the holiest of holiest, the place where God's presence abided. Now, what happened? Over time, the house of God fell into disrepair. The house of God also apparently was cluttered and had suffered from no attention during the reigns of Manasseh and Manasseh's son Amon. So the next thing that Josiah is going to do here is he's going to restore the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Is that interesting? So here's another good step of advice for us to have the right kind of 2014 and have a joy-filled year is to restore the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Now, I really believe that number one and number two here, getting rid of the old, purging out the old, tearing down the things that shouldn't be there, getting rid of the wrong things that God has identified and that we're aware of, I really believe that goes hand in hand with restoring the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Because we make the application to today, and what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that our physical bodies are the temple of God. Is that correct? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord? That's what the Bible says. We're indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we don't have a temple or a church building or a cathedral somewhere where God makes his manifestation of his presence and his glory known, and we go and once a year we see that there's a sacrifice. That doesn't happen anymore. God's taking care of all that with an eternal sacrifice by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just on the temple that was in Jerusalem, but the temple that's above, the one that the book of Hebrews talks about, the one that's in heaven where the mercy seat is that and what the one on earth actually pictured and represented down here that actually exists up there. God has made that sacrifice once for all in Christ Jesus and his shed blood, his finished work of the cross of Calvary. But things are different now. This is not the Old Testament. This is after the cross. And now we understand that the Bible says at the moment of salvation, at the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says he imparts his Holy Spirit to come and dwell in your body, that you're sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, God resides and walks with men. Emmanuel, God with us. He's abiding in us. And how does he do that? He does that in the form of his Spirit in our physical bodies. You know what? There needs to be some restoring in the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, isn't there? Doesn't there? I mean, this is 2014 now. This isn't 2013. What can we leave behind? You know, some things need to be left behind, don't they? 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's talking about how when he was a child, he spake as a child, he thought as a child, that's how he behaved, but when he became a man, he put away childish things. You know, when we become a man spiritually, when we mature spiritually, what do? We don't bring those childish things with us. Those stay in the past. We're going forward. God is growing us and conforming us to the image of his Son. So there needs to be a restoring. There needs to be a going forward. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 50 years. That process never ends down here. No one ever apprehends or attains. No one ever reaches that level that makes you perfect with God or anything like that. Not in your flesh. No, it's a continual process. Walking by faith. Walking by faith. Walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And you learn that and you grow and you mature. The temple was such an important part of the relationship between the nation of Israel and God. And they had to restore that for things to be right between that nation and their God, the Lord God Jehovah. They had to give it attention. They had to do it. Well, we don't have a temple anymore. We don't have a special earthly place to commune with God. You don't have to pray towards the east or anything like that. No, when you pray, that's not how we are like they were in Old Testament times, like Daniel did. That was right for him to do. It's not right for us to do. No, now we pray towards our high priest. We pray towards our Lord and Savior, seated at the right hand of the throne of creation. And that's our special place. It's different now. God's Spirit dwells in us, and we're joined to the Lord by one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17. See, the temple is God's resting place, and the Holy Spirit rests in the heart of us, his believers. But if you're not careful, false idols will build up in your heart and life, and that affects the temple. Do you think the true God should ever have to share residence with false gods? I mean, they couldn't have done that in the Old Testament temple. They couldn't have decorated the entrance to the Holy of Holies with the false gods of the land. They couldn't have had Baal there. They couldn't have had Molech there. They couldn't have had all those different ones we read about in Old Testament times. They couldn't have done that. God would not have allowed that to happen. He would not have manifested his presence there, or he would have not shared his glory with any other false god or deity. That would not happen. In fact, remember what happened? Remember the story about the Philistines trying to put the Ark of the Covenant in with their big god Molech? Remember what happened? Come back the next day and he's on his face. Molech is that big iron statue or whatever it was on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. So they had to prop their god back up again. Remember that? How it's always bad we had to prop your god up. How many? Let's don't prop our gods up in 2014, okay? If God's put them on their face, let's leave them behind, okay? Let's don't try to bring them into the new year. Yet, what'd they do? They tried to prop Molech back up again. I think it was Molech, wasn't it Molech? Is that right? Okay, all right. And then what happened? The next day, they come back in and Molech's back down again. This time, his face is disconnected from his body. His head popped off. And both his hands had also popped off also. Hard to prop off a god when his head and his hands fall off, isn't it? God was teaching the Philistines something, and there was a plague throughout the land. And they sent that ark back the best way they knew how, being a pagan people. Not having the law of Moses. They put it on a new cart. I mean, a new F-350 diesel, you know, Duramax with the, Bigfoot mud slipper tires and mud flaps, leopard skin seat covers. I mean, they did it the best they could. This is the best we got, God. Just leave us alone. We don't want like these things that you've plagued our land with. If you remember about the things that he plagued their land with, you can read about that. But anyway, it was painful. Painful, and something they didn't want in the new year either. And so they sent it back to the nation of Israel. Why? Because that was the true God. Why do we try to mix the true God as a believer and allow these false idols and false gods to creep in? We shouldn't do that. No, we need to purge out the old and we need to restore the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And there's more to it than that. Look at verse number 14. This is what gets talked about a lot in this passage and corresponding passages, 2 Chronicles 34:14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, they took the money, they gathered it from, Manasseh and Ephraim and everything that was represented there in the kingdom of Judah, the south kingdom. And they took the money and they gave it to the men that were skilled, the ones that worked in the metals and the precious metals and the lumber and the timber and did the carvings and the working and all that to restore the temple. They gave the money and all that kind of stuff. It's what I kind of skipped over here in the passage. And in verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And it talks about, gives a little summary there in verse number 17, the stuff that I kind of skipped over. In verse 18, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass when the king, talking about Josiah, had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. He's going to find out that they have not been keeping the law of the Lord their God, that it's been so long with his father and grandfather that had been on the throne of Judah there. It's been so long that this was a lost truth to the people of Judah, the southern kingdom there. And he finds out about it and he rents his clothes. He realizes that they're in line for judgment from God and all that kind of stuff. But verse 27, you see as Josiah inquires to find out what God's going to do. In verse 27, here comes the word from the Lord, because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. He talks to him and assures him that he's not going to bring those judgments that are written in the law, maybe in the book of Deuteronomy, where there's the blessings and cursings of the law. And Josiah hears those things and he's worried about his people and his kingdom because they know they're in line for judgment, chastening from God above. But here's what Josiah did, the third thing. Not only did he purge out the old and tear down the things that didn't need to be there, not only did he do the repairing of the place where the Holy Spirit dwelt, but he remembered the will of God according to the Word of God. He remembered. It had been lost. Isn't that crazy that it would be lost, the nation of Israel? That's what made them distinct. God gave them his holy word. God established that nation upon the earth to accomplish his purpose. And he gave them his word. No, the Philistines didn't have the word of God. The Egyptians didn't have the word of God. No, God gave that to his chosen people, the Jews, the nation of Israel, the Hebrews. And yet it was lost amongst those people. Oh, we can say, oh, that's so terrible, and how could they ever let that happen? But you know, today amongst the people of God, the Word of God is lost also. Oh, it's been replaced by all kinds of things, inspirational things, you know, self-improvement things, you know, 37 steps to a better you, and you know, however many days of purpose, and this and that, and this prayer of Jabez, and this, that, and the other, and all this kind of thing, and where you try to turn in something real, a relationship with the real, true God, into something that's almost like ritual, or something that's superstitious. You know, I mean, I know people can do things out of a good heart and pray the prayer of Jabez out of a good heart, or wear the WWJD stuff, even though that's way water under the bridge now, I guess. And I guess they're trying. Maybe some of them have a good approach and a good heart, but they turn God into just a relic on the shelf, or another idol on the shelf in the idols of their, in the closet of their life. And that's not who God is. That's not who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We're talking about God who became flesh and lived that perfect life and redeemed all mankind through his finished work on the cross of Calvary. No, he doesn't get put on the shelf with other things. No, he's the one true God. He's the Most High God. He's the Almighty God. He's proven to be so. The Lord Jesus Christ has revealed him to us, himself to us, by what he accomplished through the work of Calvary. The work of the cross. No, we need to remember the will of God according to his word. How are we going to tear down the things that don't need to be there? Get rid of them, purge them out. How are we going to repair the things that need to be repaired? You know how we're going to do that? By walking according to God's word. God's word. You're not going to, I promise you right now, I'm not trying to be a prophet, because really, truthfully, the prophecy is complete today. All I can do is tell you about the prophecy, all right? But you will not, as a believer, have a joy-filled 2014 if you ignore this book. If this book is not remembered, and the way to remember it is by spending time in it all the time, right? If it's not remembered in 2014, well, you can forget about your joy in 2014. And that's not superstitious, and that's not do good in this and do bad in that. I'm not saying all that. I'm just saying this is the key to your joy in 2014, because this is God's word, and this is the only place you're going to get God's word, is right here, from the direct source. And if you look for other places of fulfillment, all you might do is fulfill the flesh for a few fleeting moments, and then you'll feel worse after the fact. You'll find there's a difference between pleasure and true joy, and the happiness that God brings. No, to have a good 2014, a year full of joy, we need to follow this good example, 2 Chronicles 34. I wish I could have read more of it. Let me read the last verse, I guess. Verse 33, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Isn't that good? Man, how about that? A man's will, his choices, his decisions, had that much bearing on his year and his years ahead, and even the people that he was governing over and king over, just because he chose right instead of choosing wrong. He could have chose wrong like Amon. He could have chose wrong like Manasseh, but he chose to serve the true God. We can do the same thing in 2014. All right, we'll conclude the Sunday school lesson. We have about 8 minutes till